Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hey, good morning. No, I guess it's afternoon already, isn't it?
Yes. 4 minutes after.
Wow. Okay. Time flies. You have a holiday and you just kind of lose all all sense of time, I guess, don't you? This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Welcome. Good to have you here. Ted Ross at the controls. And glad to be back here in the saddle. You have a good day yesterday,
got some things done and got the oil change in my car, you know, the stuff of life that you have to do and be responsible.
We're gonna talk about maybe ways that we can become a little more clutter free, that which is always one of those issues that it creeps up on me for, you know, and then I kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, that's enough, I gotta do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start and then you go, well, I don't really have a place for this, and then you do that, and pretty soon you're cleaning up something else, and then you've forgotten the original process.
That one-touch rule, does that work for you? Touch it once and then put it where it goes? No,
it doesn't. I really appreciate those who can, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I affirm your belief in that. So.
Well, it's a good thing to touch the Bible at least once a day, right?
Well, true, yes. In fact, we're going to talk about part of our discussion, we're going to talk about being clutter-free, but also going to talk about happy habits for every couple. And one of the happy habits, or a good habit that you could certainly do, is to get into scripture reading the Bible together, having some time of family connection. And we've got a great resource. In fact, I dropped one of these off to a friend yesterday who is just trying to get back into reading the Bible. It's the E100, the Essential 100 Bible Reading Plan. It's a daily planner. And it's for, you know, individuals or groups, and we've got free copies. You can sign up for it online, myfaithradio.com. We have a little link on our show page, too, but it's on the front page, myfaithradio.com. And what it is, it's just simply, it's 100 readings in the Old and New Testament that will give you the big picture, the scripture. And it's not set up on a date, so, you know, by this time of the year, you probably experience maybe a Bible bailout or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, I'm 3 days behind or something.
Yeah.
So then you kind of give up. Well, I'm not going to get the Bible read through this year, I guess, and you give up. So here's a way to just say, I'll take this, and it's a nice little card. You can just kind of punch out each time you read. You get passages from the Old Testament. You learn about, you know, the beginning, story of Joseph, Moses, the Judges, the rise of Israel, fall of Israel, the prophets, and a number of things, and then into the New Testament. So I encourage you to check it out. Then let's do it together. I got my copy with me, and I'm going to do this with my friend.
And oh, nice.
Hopefully we'll try and just keep up and see how it goes.
A little friendly accountability. That's great.
Good idea. So check it out online. It's the Essential 100 Bible Reading Plan, a little planner. We'll send it to you in the mail if you request one at myfaithradio.com. All right, I'm ready to welcome back a good friend to Connecting Faith. I should mention, too, by the way, we've got a great week ahead, because tomorrow we're going to talk about taking steps toward your dream job. David Stark's coming back to join us. And then Thursday, it's the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision. We've got a great interview with a couple of businessmen who are now a part of Online for Life, Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. And they have powerful stories. I know you're going to want to hear that. So that's coming up this week. Today, though, Kathy Lipp joins us. Kathy is a conference and retreat speaker, and she speaks to thousands of women throughout the U.S. each year, author of a number of books, including The Husband Project, The Marriage Project. We've talked to her about, you know, kind of 21 days to get your life organized, and Kathy and Roger have been happily married for 10 years, and probably more than that now, but maybe it was only 10 years of happiness. We'll have to ask her about that. And they're the parents of four young adults. And I asked Kathy here before the show, what do you do when you work at home and you're self-employed? Do you actually get a day off? And Kathy, you did take a little time off. Is that right?
We did take a little time off, you know, and sometimes, you know, you have to make your holidays different days, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, so we kind of make our own, we make up make it up as we go along, which is kind of fun.
It sounds like this show. So glad to have you back.
I'm so glad to be back. You are one of my favorite hosts, and I'm so glad to get to spend some time with you.
Well, we're going to talk. We're thinking that early on in the new year, it's still in January. This would be a great time to talk about, you know, issues of organization and clutter. And thankfully, you've written a new book on that, Quick and Easy Steps to Simplify Your Space. The book is called Clutter Free, and it's from Harvest House. And there's another one we're going to get to here in the second half of the show. And by the way, we do have some copies that will be given away as well. So if you'd like to sign up for one, you can do that. We'll have a drawing for that. And obviously, love to have you ask a question as well from Kathy. And you've heard her on with us before. The number is 877-93-FAITH. If you want to queue up with your questions, 877-933-2484. Kathy, you know, in the book Clutter Free, this is an area where, I mean, all of us, I think, you know, it doesn't matter if it's January or June, clutter can just sort of overwhelm us at times, can it?
Well, and, you know, I know we all love a fresh start. We all love January 1st to be, we're going to do it. We're going to take it on now. But you know what? Somebody told me yesterday, February 1st is the new January 1st, and I'm embracing that.
I love that.
There are too many things to start on January 1st. So you know what? If you want to get clutter-free, hey, join us February 1st. That's
super.
A great time to start, too. Or join us today. You know, today it was a week with a holiday, and so today is the first day of the rest of the week.
Yes.
So we love a good clean slate. But yes, I mean, this is, we've got momentum, and clutter can really keep us it affects every area of our lives. So if we can get our clutter under control, it's amazing how many other areas of our life that affects.
Now, in the book early on, you talked about your interest in the small house movement, that, making the most less space, some of those things, and maybe talk a little bit about what that means and how we can have sort of a small house even if we don't have a small house.
Well, here's what I mean by that, is when Roger and I got married, and it was just a mere 10 years ago, we're a blended family. So, you know, we were combining, if you can believe this, it was me, Roger, my 13 and 14-year-old, and his 15 and 17-year-old. I mean, how crazy is that, right?
Plus the cat, right?
Plus the cat,
yes.
Exactly. And now we've added another cat and dog, but we won't get into that craziness. But, you know, when we've looked at our housing situation, we live in Silicon Valley. We have just about the highest rate of mortgages around anywhere. So, of course, we realize we live in a tiny house. We're between 1,300 and 1,400 square feet, depending on how you measure it. And boy, you know, to pack six people into that is it's just madness. But we realized it wasn't the people, it was the stuff. And so we had to realize moving for us would mean taking our kids away from their other birth parents, and we couldn't do that. And or it meant, you know, that we would be paying extravagant housing costs, and we couldn't do that either with a family of four. So we had to make this space work, and I thought it was impossible until I started looking at the tiny house movement and how people were taking, you know, they were living in 300 square feet, and I thought, well, we can't do that with six people, but maybe we could look at our 1,400 square feet differently, and how do we make this work for us? And so the main thing really was just getting rid of the clutter. Getting rid of the clutter has helped in so many ways, and thinking about what do I really need in order to make my life as joyful and filled as possible, and it really doesn't require a lot of stuff.
Well, and even as you talked about it, you know, we don't necessarily have to have rooms for everything anymore. I guess maybe at one point we thought we did. The reading room, the TV room, those kinds of things, right?
Yeah, well, when you have a laptop or a tablet, all that goes away. You know, how much the rate at which how we're watching actual TV has gone down crazily, because we can watch it on our phones or on our tablets. And so while we may have had a TV sitting room before where everybody was sitting around and everybody pointed in the same direction, that's not really what we're doing anymore. And plus a lot of the things that we needed a lot of stuff for. How often do I use my printer these days? Not nearly as often as I used to, because everything is so e-connected. So we used to have three printers at our house. We run a small business, of course, so you know that makes a difference. But now we're down to one, and it's working perfectly for us. There's an opportunity now with advances in technology, which I'll admit are not always a great thing. But when it comes to the space in your house, boy, it can make a huge difference.
Well, let's talk about maybe some of the reasons why, clutter, obviously it's not just a space issue, but maybe some other issues there. Is it, as Ted and I were just talking about, is that we don't know how to deal with stuff once, or are there bigger issues behind the clutter issues?
Well, if you can get down to the one touch, you get a blue ribbon in my book, because
but where
so
would
much
we put it,
it?
That's the question.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. It's a virtual blue ribbon,
perfect,
so it's fine.
Perfect.
You can put it on your Facebook page. It won't take anything up. But but there's a great point in there, because so much of our clutter comes down to one thing, and that's indecision. We don't have confidence in where we put things, so we put it here just for now. Just for now is the enemy of a peaceful space, because we can put everything here just for now. And the problem is our drawers and our closets are so overflowing with stuff, we have no safe way to put things away. And so many of us, if we put something away, it's the last time we see it for 10 years. Because we have no safe way of retrieving it. So we need to, even in a house that looks clutter-free, if you open up those drawers up and open up those cabinets and spaces, you really need to take a chance to see, hey, I need space to put things away. That's why a half-empty drawer is a beautiful thing.
This time of year, there's probably lots of ads for getting your closet organizers, buying all the totes and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
I mean, have you purchased lots of those?
In my past, yes,
okay.
I've purchased lots of those, because I just thought my problem was I wasn't organized enough. We are so backwards thinking on this. It's not that you're not organized enough. It's that you have too much stuff for the space you're in. And it doesn't matter how many totes, how many closet systems you buy, until you get down to the root of it. You know, we were just talking about that. What are some of the things? Indecision. Or we feel guilty because we paid so much money for it, and so we keep shoes in our closet that we're never going to wear because we don't like them. But we spend so much money on them, we can't give them away. Or, my mom gave it to me. Or, there are a million different reasons. Until we start dealing with the emotional and spiritual reasons behind our clutter, it doesn't matter how many closet systems you're going to buy. You're always going to feel unpeaceful about your stuff.
We're going to come back in just a moment, talk more with Kathy Lipp about maybe some ways that we can get a different feeling and perspective and some habits about clutter. To live clutter-free, that's the title of one of Kathy's new books, Quick and Easy Steps to Simplify Your Space. Kathy Lipp joining us today. Kathy is a well-known retreat conference speaker and author of a number of books, and we're happy to have her on with us today. You can join the conversation at 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. You have some questions about clutter, or maybe you're married to someone who has some problems with letting stuff go. And we'll see what Kathy has to say about that and more. And again, we've got some copies of the books that we'll do a drawing for, so if you'd love to just have this. Although we'll talk about that too, adding another book to your bookshelf, which may be an issue. 877-933-2484. Can see some light at the end of the tunnel, at the end of the clutter tunnel. We're talking clutter-free, quick and easy steps to simplifying your space with Kathy Lipp today. If you ever wish you could kind of clear out your clutter and take back your life, Kathy's new book is just the solutions you need. We're talking about it today with Kathy Lipp, a best-selling author and a speaker. She's written The Husband Project, The Marriage Project, several others. In fact, we're going to talk about one of her new ones coming up, Happy Habits for Every Couple. We'll get to that. But, Kathy, we're talking about, you know, some of those kind of the emotions of the clutter. Well, someone gave us this. Or it's also kind of, I guess, that fear thing, too, isn't it? Well, what if I need this someday? That kind of drives some of it, too, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, let me tell you something that we did that may give some people some peace, is that last year we challenged our readers, and we're doing it again this year at clutterfreebook.com, to get rid of 2,000 things in their house. 2,000 things. And some people feel like, oh, that's overwhelming, and some people feel like, well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But I got rid of 2,000 things from my house last year. Do you know how many of those things I missed? One. I went and repurchased one thing that was for $10. And I'll be honest with you, I can't even remember. I think it was ice cube trays that I repurchased. But to have 2,000 things out of my house, and to think about how many of those things went to people who were in need, how many of those things went to my kids who are establishing their own homes, how many of those things went to moms who needed an outfit for a job interview or toys for their kids. That is, to let all those things go free and have to repay probably $10 worth for that kind of stuff, I understand the fear, but the freedom is so much more valuable.
Wow. You know, Ted and I were just talking about, you know, we're maybe kind of at that age and stage where we're getting stuff that our parents are trying to clean out of their stuff.
Sure.
So. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, oh, go ahead, Ted.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I just wanted to jump in on that. My grandmother just passed away, and she lived a great long life, you know, at 98, almost 99.
Oh, wow.
But as a result of that, now we're cleaning out kind of her apartment and things, you know, and one of the things I've gotten is some letters that my mom, who also has passed, but some letters that she wrote to my grandparents, and now I get to look through them, and that's a great privilege. But then it's that, well, these are kind of a family keepsake. Do I keep them? Do I take a picture of them? What do I do?
Yes. You know what? And it's such a great question. And can I tell you, this is probably my number two question I get on clutter, is what do I do with my parents' stuff or grandparents? And I was just speaking with somebody last week who actually has a storage unit for her aunt's possessions. Because she doesn't know what's valuable, doesn't know what isn't. And so, you know, she's caught in this place of indecision. And Ted, when I hear about something like that, here's how I look at it. I think about, if I could have one box, you know, whatever size box that is, of the stuff that is precious, I know is precious to my family and is precious to me, and I'm going to keep one box worth. Now, if there are other things like furniture or antiques that you want to keep displayed in your house, that's awesome. Go ahead and grab those. But to keep one box worth of, these are things that wouldn't be valuable to anybody else, but they're valuable to me and my family, that's a great way of looking at it. I can contain this within one box. And these are maybe things that my kids would be interested in looking at someday. But to keep more than that, what you're doing is you're saying, if everything's important, then nothing is. Mm-hmm. So picking 10 things that are super precious to you and displaying as many of those as possible throughout your house where they bring a happy memory. And maybe there's a letter in there. You know, maybe some of the letters were just general news, but there's a letter in there that really displayed some sentiment or was, you know, really precious, having that framed. And you can go to Michael's or some other craft store and do that very, very easily. But saying, I'm going to pick the best and release the rest.
That's very helpful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, great.
Cool.
Hey, let's take a call from Robin in DeForest, Wisconsin, because Robin's question is one that I suspect several others have asked. Robin, you're on with Kathy Lipp. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering, you know, I've been starting to kind of, and I don't feel like I'm like really, really cluttery, but it's just some stuff, you know, I do kind of get overwhelmed on where do I start? Do I just take like, say, maybe a drawer today, and do I sometimes just not spend a lot of time on it, or do I say, okay, today I'm going to clean out everything? But sometimes I get overwhelmed with that, and I just don't know how to start.
Robin, it's such a great question. Thank you because that is my number one question, is where do I get started? Let me tell you what my plan is, because I am easily overwhelmed. And so my thought is you start with one drawer. And we have this little system. We just call it three boxes and two bags. And we have three different boxes, one for put back. That means anything that's out of place in the room that goes somewhere in that room. There's another box that's other rooms. So it's, you know, the shoes are in the kitchen. Okay, that's not the correct place. And then there's giveaway, the green giveaway box. And I just put a garbage bag. I line that. So if we have things that we want to give away, they can just go straight into that box and go, you know, I can pull up the bag and take that straight to my car to take to Goodwill or something like that. And then finally I take two bags, a garbage bag and a recycling bag. And I just work on a drawer at a time. And I set a timer for 15 minutes because so often it's so hard, we get stuck in indecision about what we want to do. So just spend 15 minutes and you say, I'm going to get this drawer done in 15 minutes. And you can do a drawer in 15 minutes. You can sort through it, get it into those three boxes, put it back in there, take out the garbage and recycling, get that done. And do that for today. And you know what? If you get really excited and you feel like, wow, I really nailed that. I own that drawer. That felt great. Then do one more. But once finish whatever you're doing. Don't leave it undone. Make sure you finish it. And then do another drawer the next day. And I really encourage you to come to clutterfreebook.com because we have a free 21-day program to get you started where you won't be overwhelmed. You'll feel empowered.
Thanks, Robin, for that question. And Kathy, I'm thinking I need to go buy a timer.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Or
sure.
And then
I'll have,
phone.
Well, I'll have to
no,
figure out where to put
it. Go get one on your phone.
Oh, shoot. I was thinking I could buy something more because that really that's part of the issue. Then we're kind of maybe more shopaholics than we realize, isn't it? We buy stuff.
Oh, Neil, we love a good tool, don't we?
Yeah.
For men, it's all the things that belong in the garage, and for me, it's office supplies. Oh my goodness, I could supply a Staples right now. I totally could, and so I love office-y things because I feel like that they're going to get me more organized. So I love the post-it notes and the calendars and all that kind of stuff. But what I realized was I would spend more time. I spent more time saddling up than I did riding the horse.
Yeah.
I spent more time getting organized to do the taxes than to do the taxes. I spent more time getting my desk organized than I did actually working. And so making sure that we can say those 15 minutes, you know, put it on your cell phone has a timer, I promise you that. And spending that short amount of time, but saying, I already have the tools I need to get the job done. I'm thinking 99 times out of 100.
Yeah. We want to talk maybe too about are there some tips you have for dealing with another person's clutter? I mean, if your spouse, you know, needs all the latest tools or gadgets or, you know, those sorts
right.
of things. And we only have a couple minutes before the break, but we can start on that anyway.
Okay, so I'll just say it's so easy to throw our own clutter in glass houses. I'll just say that. So many times we have to deal with our own stuff first, but it's so easy to look at other people's stuff and say, but all their stuff is junk. But you know what? To other people, our stuff looks like junk too. But I do have a couple of ideas that we can, you know, break in on with other people's stuff, especially if somebody's receptive to that. And I think an allocation of equal amounts of space to say to your partner, hey, you know, we each get two shelves in the garage. Do whatever you want with those shelves, but can we agree in order to make this garage functional that two shelves is pretty much what we can do, and they can keep whatever they want, but it's the space allotment that's really going to help you out. And you're not allowed to go into their clutter and throw things out. You're just not allowed to do it. It's not okay.
Okay. All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that, plus a new book that Kathy and her husband, Roger, have just written called 21 Days to a Better Relationship, some happy habits for every couple, and there's some connection to the clutter issue there as well. And we've got copies of both of those books that will be given away here. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour, so feel free to sign up for that. And if you have a question for us, welcome that as well. The number is 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or if it's more convenient, drop us a line online, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Connecting Faith show page, and there's an email link there. You can just send us a question that way. And happy to have Kathy give some response to that. Kathy Lipp, conference and retreat speaker and a best-selling author. We're talking about clutter-free, quick and easy steps to simplify your space. More in just a moment. Stay tuned. To have back with us on Connecting Faith, Kathy Lipp, busy conference and retreat speaker, author of several books, including The Husband Project, The Cure for the Perfect Life, The Get Yourself Organized Project. She and her husband, Roger, live in California, the parents of four young adults. And we're talking about a couple of new books that Kathy's written. Clutter Free, It's Quick and Easy Steps to Simplifying Your Space. And we've got some copies of that we'll give away, as well as the 21 Days for Better Relationship, Happy Habits for Every Couple. And, Kathy, just need to ask, because I know you address in the book that, you know, if you're like me, you love new books. In fact, I mean, I can't get rid of books. What do you recommend if books are our downfall?
Oh, books are my downfall. I went from 12 bookcases to three. Here, let me just define clutter for you. Clutter is anything that you don't love, don't use, or wouldn't pay for again. So if you have books, and I allowed myself, I made a list of 50 books that I'm going to read for the rest of my life. These are things that bring me joy, or they're devotional. These things I love. But there are a lot of books that I've read once, I enjoyed them, but I'm probably never going to read again. And again, I gave away hundreds and hundreds of books. I did rebuy one book a couple of years ago, but you know what? It was so interesting, because before I would have thought, oh, I was so stupid to let that one go and I had to rebuy it. You know what? I read it on a plane and I was telling my friend about it, and the next day when I saw her, I gave it to her because I knew she would enjoy it. And so we have to think about our possessions differently. Who is that book blessing while it's sitting on your shelf? Absolutely nobody. Who could it be blessing if it was in the hands of a friend or somebody else who could really, really enjoy it? So set those books free. So, you know, as an author, I love to hear when people have passed my books on. That's a great honor to me.
Good. You know, Ted was talking about, you know, collecting, getting some things from his mother and grandmother. You know, what about us? Do we want to start unloading our stuff to our kids? You have young adult children now. I mean, have you given them a box every time they come home? Say, here, take this with you.
Well, I do ask them, is this something that you want? You know, because we keep finding things from their childhood. You know, we're living pretty clutter-free, but there are pockets in here where we keep discovering things. And I'll say, hey, if you don't want to take it, it's totally fine. I'm happy to donate it or recycle it or whatever we need to do. But I do want to make sure that I am not passing on my clutter burden. I think one of the best things we can do for our kids is have a very crass conversation that my mom had with me several years ago, because we're going through this right now. My dad passed away in September, and my dad was a hoarder. He just was. And, you know, I've lived another dimension of this book since he passed away. And so she had a conversation with me about what was important to her, that I understood why it was important to her, and what we could let go. And there were about 10 things that she said, don't just, you know, donate this at Goodwill. If you don't want it, then see if one of our cousins wants it or something like that. But everything else, she said, if you can use it, great. If not, you know, let it go. And so that was a great conversation for my mom to have with me. It sounds a little crass, but you know what? I know the milk glass that I need to make sure that I treat carefully. I know the photo albums, where they are and what needs to be done with them. And I have a plan. So if something happens to my mom, I know what to do.
You know, it does bring up, we sort of touched on a little bit before the break, that, you know, dealing with other people's clutter. I mean, these things can kind of affect a marriage relationship. You know, you've addressed that in your new book a little. I mean, not necessarily about the clutter, but the fact is that marriages need a little work, don't they?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And you know what? Happy marriages need a lot of work, too. And I think that that is something, you know, we spend so much time talking about the bad marriages and the ones that are desperately needing help. But, you know, the rest of us need to be in maintenance mode all the time. And so I talk about how, you know, I have been banned from watching HGTV because whenever I do, I want to redo my whole house. And my husband always has to talk me off the ledge or the ottoman and say, you know, could we just paint a wall? How about we try painting a wall? And once I paint a wall, I feel so much better about my house. And it's the same thing about a marriage. We don't have to, you know, if unless there's an issue, we don't have to go deep all the time, but we do need to be doing something every once in a while to kick it up, and that's why we wrote this book.
Well, you and your husband, Roger, wrote this great new book called 21 Days to a Better Relationship. It's the subtitle, Happy Habits for Every Couple. You address them as projects, and I'm wondering if, you know, don't most of us have too many projects that are unfinished anyway, so what does the word project connote?
You know, the word project says, hey, for a defined amount of time and space and energy and maybe a little bit of money, I'm going to concentrate on this area. So we have 21 projects in the book, and what we do is we say, hey, for 21 days, you're going to treat your marriage like a project. You're just going to say, hey, we're going to put a little time and energy behind this. If we normally, you know, we're just crashing on the couch with a bucket of chicken to just make it through to the next day. Nope, this time, we're going to go out to dinner, and I'm going to put on heels, and you're going to shave, and we're going to look nice, and we're going to enjoy each other's company because we're on project status right now.
Yeah, it's probably better than the other way. But anyway, that's all another story. Sorry. So was there something that maybe for you kind of sparked a need in your own life and marriage? I mean, for you and Roger to decide, you know, hey, let's make this the next project that you work on.
Yeah, you know, we've been married, like I said, for 10 years, and we've done projects before, but we realized that we also needed to be an example to our kids. Our kids are in relationships now. We've got one who's walking down the aisle in September, and we want to be a great example to them of what a good marriage looks like. And we have a good marriage. We enjoy each other. But, you know, we've gotten a little lazy sometimes, and we figured, okay, it's time to, you know, when other people feel like they need to do something as a project, they pick up a book. When I do, I write a book. And so that's what we've done here is said, okay, we're going to put a little bit of energy and time into this. And what was our greatest reward, even if we never sell one of these books? Well, we've already sold the books. But, you know, if nothing ever happens with this book, our niece said, hey, guess what book I'm buying today? I said, which one? She said, Happy Habits. I said, you guys have a great relationship. She goes, yeah, we do most of the time, but you know what? We want to have one like you and Uncle Roger where you guys are always supporting each other. And that just, I can't even tell you what that meant to me to hear that come from our niece's mouth. And so we do want to be that example to the next generation who's coming up of what a truly healthy and loving relationship looks like, because it's not modeled many places. You're not going to find it on TV, and oftentimes you're not going to find it, you know, in movies or sometimes even in our own families. But we need to make sure that we have an example for them, and it's fun for us. Double bonus.
Sure. You know, there are a lot of marriage improvement books out there, and I'm sure you probably don't, you know, carry the mantle of marriage expert, but I mean, no. What did it do for you to just sort of be able to write this, and how did you want to make it different from the other ones?
Well, you know, this it has a lot of the same principles and things we did in the marriage project. We had 200 couples at our church go through this, but really what we said was, you know, every once in a while you need to set aside some time. You need to set aside some energy, money, and space in your lives and say, this is a priority. This is something we need to do. So we took the best and we left the rest and we said, these are the things that couples said, this really helps us connect. And I'm a big fan of Shanti Feldhahn. Yeah. And her research. I know you're very familiar with her. And I love what she has done for marriage to say, you know, we have more control over whether we have a happy marriage or not than we think. It's not up to chance. And there are a lot of happy marriages out there, but we're not hearing about them. So let's not just let's not just talk about love. Let's show real love to each other, not just in the husband's wife, but as a community, and let's support each other in marriage and say, you know what, this is hard sometimes, but it's good too, and let's celebrate all that's good about marriage, because there's a lot of good stuff going on.
We'll get into some kind of specifics of the happy habits for every couple in a moment, but I know you mentioned that you'd gone through this with your church, and you do talk about having sort of an accountability or a support couple. Talk about why maybe that's so important, or how that is really going to make a difference.
Oh, you know, peer pressure is a beautiful thing. It really is. Now, not when you're in junior high, but when you're an adult and you're trying to accomplish things in life. And so having people around you who can check in on you, to, you know, because it gives you forward energy. When you really want to have some life change in your life, it's great to have a time to start and a time to end to know, you know, for this amount of time we're going to do this. It's great to have community support. And it's also great to, you know, be on the same page with other couples to say, hey, we're reading this together, we're doing this together, we're going to be creative together, and we're going to be excited about it together. So having that group, whether it's your Bible study, a small group, or just another couple, is a great way to make sure that you follow through on your commitments.
Let's take a quick break and come back and dive in more to Kathy and Roger's latest book called Happy Habits for Every Couple. It's 21 Days to a Better Relationship. What if today you and your spouse could start on a project to really make the next 3 weeks significant forward step in your relationship? We'll find out more about how to do that with Kathy Lipp, conference and retreat speaker and best-selling author, joining us today here on Connecting Faith. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone number is 877-933-2484. Past the hour, and talking today with Kathy Lipp, best-selling author, as a national speaker at retreats, conferences, and women's events, author of a dozen books, and her and Roger have been married, happily married for 10 years, parents of four young adults, and they've written a great little resource called Happy Habits for Every Couple, 21 Days for a Better Relationship. And Kathy, maybe just talk about, give a little snapshot of the book and what it looks like in terms of just kind of helping some people get some ideas on how they can get started.
Yeah, you know, we have 21 days where we're asking you, sometimes we ask the guy to do something, sometimes we ask the gal to do something, and sometimes you both do something together. But we want you to just, for 21 days, even if you can't get to every project, to just be thinking about your spouse and how you could bless them during that time. So, you know, giving each other 30 minutes of undivided attention is one of them. Getting active together, going for a walk, just something as simple as that. When we ask the guys to write down 10 reasons that you love your wife, and we're asking the wives to write down 10 reasons why you respect your husband. And then, you know, being able to do some chores together, which doesn't sound like the most romantic thing in the world, but there's never a time I'm more in love with my husband than we've checked some things off our to-do list. It makes me incredibly happy.
You you also have week three date nights in this 21
yes.
days. Talk about those. I think you call them major projects. Why those?
Well, you know, I'm coming to find out that we Christians are lousy at dating our spouses. We are terrible at it. For some reason, we just don't think it's a priority. And so while the world has, you know, their way of going out and being, you know, we need to think a little differently. How can we honor each other and love on each other? So one date I ask him to plan, one date I ask her to plan, and then I ask you to go out with another couple, because it's really, really great to be able to see yourself through the eyes of other people sometimes, your relationship. So I ask you to plan a simple date. It could be as simple as going miniature golfing, or, you know, I know you guys live in the frozen tundra, so going to the movies and going out for a slice of pie afterwards. It's something as simple as that. But just saying, you know what, our relationship is worth a babysitter, or do a babysitting co-op. That's what I did when my kids were younger. And then spend some time together where it's undivided and you don't have to be talking about just chores and who's paid the electric bill, those kind of things. You can just spend some time really rekindling some of that time in your relationship. I love dating Roger, and we do something simple. We do it year round now. We have Tuesday night date night where we go on to Yelp and we find an ethnic restaurant that we've never tried before that has a high rating, and we go and try it. And we just, you know, it's adventure dating. And so, you know, we're not jumping off of cliffs, but, boy, we're having a great time. And they say one of the things that leads to longer lasting love is having new experiences together. So we take that seriously. That's from Shanti Feldhahn's research. So having new relationship adventures, new dining adventures, new fun adventures, digging in, that helps you connect in new and deep ways. So we're improving our marriage by having, you know, taquitos. It's wonderful.
You know, you also, you know, address the expectation of a connection sexually once a week as well. It's probably worth talking about that. It's why making that sort of a key part of this?
Well, because, you know, God has honored that in huge ways and said, this is something important that we each need to be doing for our relationships. So let's pay attention. We don't want to not, you know, skip over that part of the Bible where God says that he's created the man and woman for this. So one of the things we really wanted to do with this is get couples talking about those hard conversations that they haven't really been talking about. And if sex is a problem in your relationship, let's get that figured out. Let's figure out what is keeping you from that. Are you exhausted all the time? You know, one of the things that we've had to do in our life, not just for getting organized, but also for a healthy marriage, is we've had to start going to bed. We call it old people time. I'm in bed by 9 o'clock each night because I'm getting up at 5 each morning, because these are how I develop my healthy habits spiritually and in my relationship. And before I was tired a lot, and now I'm not so tired. I have great energy because I'm exercising, I'm taking care of myself, and that translates into a better relationship with my husband.
You know, in fact, you do talk about, it's important to talk about this, and in fact, you recommend that we, you know, before we launch into something like this, that we actually do some prep work, right? That you actually work this out, talk it out together.
Right, for sure. We have a project planner that you can get online. We just at happyhabitsbook.com. And so you can download and you can say, okay, what do we want to do for our dates? What do we want to do for each of these little projects? And you don't have to discuss everything, but to just get a plan and say, hey, we're going to spend some time, we're going to go out, we're going to talk about this, or we'll talk about it once the kids are in bed, and we're going to put some action to this. We're not just going to let this be something that we start and we give up on after day two. Do some things that you're going to be excited about and look forward to, because we want you to really be in a place where you're excited about the person you're married to. And sometimes that takes a little planning, a little scheming, a little bit of energy. We want you to have that.
You have some response from listeners and the others that have participated. And some are saying, you know, I wasn't really interested in this at all, or, you know, my husband doesn't really treat me very well. I don't want to do this. So you have some good, honest feedback in it.
We had some great, and you know what was so surprising to me, Neil? I thought a lot of guys will do this because they're good guys and this is, you know, this is a way to honor your marriage. I could not believe how excited so many of the men were to do this, because they were given a rule book that's like, okay, if I do this and this, she's going to be happy about it, right? Yep, okay, I'm in. And, you know, we had couples talking about things that they had never talked about before. We had one guy, and I still have this up because we did this research a very long time ago for most of this book, but at my church, we had a day where we celebrated what God was doing in our relationships. And after doing this, somebody wrote down, for the first time in my marriage, my wife wore lingerie. Awesome. It seems like a small thing, but in that marriage, it was an absolutely huge thing. And so we've had some great results. We've had some guys say, you know, this is the first time I ever wrote a card to my wife. And wives who were just saying, I can't believe it was the first time he ever brought me flowers. And, you know, it's so hard to ask for what you need in a marriage, because we're told by society, if your husband really loves you or your wife really loves you, they'll know exactly what you need. But you know what? This, for most of us, this is our first marriage. This is our first time doing this, and we need to have these discussions. And the more we can talk about it, the happier you as a couple are going to be.
Was there one of these, 21-day projects that you and Roger did together that maybe surprised you, or that you enjoyed, together more than maybe you thought you would, or just a favorite of yours?
Yeah, there was a one where he had to write 10 reasons he loved me. And I thought, oh, that's silly, because he tells me all the time how much he loves me. But you know what? I got that, and I just thought, this is this is special. This is something I'm going to keep for the rest of my life, because there it was in his own handwriting, why he loved me so much. And, you know, as we were talking about the possessions that your kids will go through someday when you pass, I want to make sure that my kids know that that's precious to me. In fact, you know, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I should have that framed, because that is something that's very – and I thought, hey, we talk about this stuff all the time. It's not a big deal. But you know what? That was a huge deal for me.
Hmm. You know, speaking of sort of circling back a little bit to the clutter issue, Frank had called in and left a message. He said he has a friend who's a collectible guy, cars yeah. and other stuff, and it's sort of threatened his marriage. If you have some advice for someone who has a passion for collectibles, so what do you do when your spouse is passionate about things that you aren't?
You know, and you have to think about that. If I'm trading possessions for relationship, you know, that's something that needs to be seriously discussed. And I don't know what the pressure point is in that marriage, whether it's the money that he's spending on it, or the time, or the energy, or the space. You know, it could be any of those things. But, you know, part of the reason that we're in a marriage is because we want to partner with the other person. And when we're not taking their needs into account, that's heartbreaking for their partner, when you're saying, I value things more than I value you. So really, to have a discussion about it and say, and I, when your partner is, you know, passionate about something, invest in that with them. That's okay. But also, we need to make sure that, you know, it's not causing financial strain for the family, emotional, you know, you have to dig down to the deepest part of that and say, what is causing the tension here? Because it could be a variety of reasons, but we need to listen and respond. And how much joy can you get from something that you know is tearing your marriage apart? That's why we really need to drill down on this.
You did this project when you kind of first developed it with your church. So a number of couples are going through it. What kind of impact did it have, maybe corporately, among your friends and your fellow church members?
You know, I was so surprised. We were fortunate enough. My pastor took us through 4 weeks of this, and he preached for three. I preached for one. And the couples that came up to us and said, we need to have a marriage ministry here at our church, which we really hadn't had before. We need to be investing in our marriages on a regular basis. That was so exciting for me. That was so exciting to see. You know what? So many people have the deepest desire to have a great marriage, but sometimes they don't always have the tools or the resources. So as a church, if we can provide those resources, we can say, hey, for 3 weeks, this is what we're doing as a church. And I understand we have single people in the congregation, but most of those single people do have a desire to be married. And so we can't ignore that fact when we're speaking on this stuff. But, you know, these things can also be done, you know, to except for, you know, obviously some of the bonus projects, as we like to call them. Most of these can be done with friends or with family members or kids. And so it's practicing the art of loving, going from intention to action. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, we're not just going to talk about these things, but we're going to do these things. We're going to show real love. And so we need to move from intention to action in every relationship of our lives. And if our churches can equip us to do that, what a great place for us to be able to talk about the things of God and what He desires for our relationships.
Maybe just, you know, get a minute or so left. Is there kind of the first step that you'd recommend? We'd say, well, you know, here we are, we're 20 days into the new year. We want to do something. 2015 is going to be a better year relationally.
Right.
Where do we start?
You know, I would love for you to go to happyhabitsbook.com, because there we have free resources for you. You know, things that you can do to make your marriage better today. You don't have to wait until the end of 2015. You can start today and build on that. So at the end of 2015, if you were in a good marriage, you could be in a great marriage. If you're in a struggling marriage, you could be in a really good marriage by the end of the year. So just go there, download, get some resources, and get some, you know, while you've got got this passion around it, dig in and say to your spouse, you know what? One of my goals is to have a better relationship at the end of the year than how we started out. What does that look like for you? And start the conversation. Ask what their needs are, and then you'll have some space and freedom to express your own needs and work together to have a Christ-centered relationship towards the end of the year.
These are simple things, too. They're not major issues. I mean, just giving someone 30 minutes of your time, or maybe cooking together, or just getting active or taking on a project. So things that could be done without too much challenge. Most every guy could handle this.
Every guy can handle this. It's a proven fact.
Kathy and Roger and Kathy Lipp have written this great new book. It's called Happy Habits for Every Couple, 21 Days to a Better Relationship. And again, you can go to the website happyhabitsbook.com. And we also talked about the clutter-free book. That's clutterfreebook.com. You can find resources there both to help you and kind of getting your life and your relationships in order. Kathy, it's always good to talk with you. Blessings to you as you continue to speak and write. Looking forward to the next time we can connect.
Neil and Ted, it's always a blast with you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you soon. Kathy Lipp joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show, want to pass it on to a friend, we certainly welcome and recommend that. You go to myfaithradio.com. We post the podcast there after the show, myfaithradio.com, and then just click on Connecting Faith. By the way, tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about maybe helping you find your dream job or just about kind of the changing world of work. David Stark's coming back to join us for that. And then Thursday, very powerful discussion from Brian Fisher and Jeff Bradford. They are the directors of Online for Life. And we'll talk about the pro-life movement on the Roe v. Wade anniversary. You want to listen for that coming up on Thursday.